Worship this morning. Beautiful stuff. Before we get to the heart of today, which is really going to be about grandparents and honoring grandparents, I just want to say on behalf of our church and our leadership, we just wanted to acknowledge your generosity. And, you know, as each month and each week, we're looking at financial reports and things that come in. In the month of August, we just got that one recently, and it was a very, very good financial report for the month of August. And so sometimes the summer months for churches can be among the most challenging, and we just wanted to say we're grateful, and thank you to all of you for your generosity and for being a part of that. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let me just begin by saying thank you for being here this morning. As you came in, if you were an elementary age student, you received what we are calling busy bags today. And so, anybody have a busy bag out there? Yeah? All right, I see that hand, sister. I see it. Anybody else? Come on, now I know they're out there. Okay, I see Rachel. In those bags, there is some cool stuff to look at for the kids. They are intended to keep them, guess what? Busy, all right, and they are welcome to listen and enjoy and participate with you as adults, but we wanted to give them something knowing it was out of the ordinary for them to be in here for an entire service for us. And so in those little bags, let us make you aware that there is a little card in the bags. And when the kids take the card out, there are some things in there with the intent that, and they may even benefit from your guidance a little bit in this if you would like, that they can write, dear grandma or grandpa, grandparents, and list some of their favorite things about you, what they love most about you, things like that. And so those are in the bags. And so if you guys would like to do that during the service, there is going to be a time a little bit later where they will have an opportunity to just share a brief couple sentences or so, but be aware of that. Second thing we want you to know is that we have a little gift for you today, grandparents. If you are here on Grandparents Day, in the back of the room, there are some little succulent plants that are back there in little pots, and that's a gift for you today. And so we want to encourage you to take one of those home before you go. And just to the side of that table, there is a little booth for pictures to be taken. And so we want to encourage all of you, if you are fortunate enough and blessed to be here with grandparents today, and that's possible, to be sure to stop back there later, get a picture, and pick up your gift. Does that all make sense? Okay. Even if it didn't, just humor me and say it did. So, all right. If it wasn't for grandparents, we wouldn't be here today, right? Isn't that true? We're grateful for you. I want to ask you this question, or I want to ask you to do this. Raise your hand if you came today, especially or specifically because of Grandparents' Day. Come on. How many people out there? Okay, very nice, very nice. We're glad that you were able to make it. We realize not everyone can, and so we love and want to honor today also those who could not make it, some who may not be with us anymore, but it is a special day to celebrate. And so let me just ask this question. Is there anyone here today who traveled more than half an hour to get here who's a grandparent? Okay, all right. Anyone who traveled more than an hour to get here? Okay. Anyone who traveled more than 2 hours? All right. She must have walked. It was a long walk. So I think at this point, over here on the side, Bob and Madeline, I happen to know. And how long was the trip? Three hours to be here today, close to 3 hours. We want to thank everybody for coming, and this was not fixed, by the way, since this is family of mine, but here is a Starbucks gift card just for saying thank you for coming. 15 American dollars on that card, and I can't be accused of planning that because I don't even drink coffee, so I'm safe. So it's a blessing to have you guys here. It's a blessing to be here with you. If you're here today and your life was impacted significantly because of a grandparent or grandparents, just put a hand up. I want to see out there. Made a real difference in your life. I was blessed as a child, and I want to talk to you a little bit about my grandparents this morning and then get to some words from God in the Bible that might encourage you and get us to think around this blessing of being a grandparent and having grandkids. But I was blessed as a child to grow up with two great grandmothers, as well as two sets of grandparents, and they lived somewhat locally, one of them about 3.5 hours away or so, but some of them very locally, and they made a very big impact in my life, very positive impact in many different ways, even though they were all very different. They were all very different. I want to encourage you all today to know that you can have a huge impact in the lives of your grandkids. Many of you already do. Not just your children, but your grandchildren. And I experienced that self in my life. On my mom's side, there was my precious great-grandma Jackson. From her, I learned or saw when I was a child what it looks like to be hospitable. Anybody out there can relate to that? My grandmother would open her home. She knitted and crocheted like nobody's business. And I have no idea how she find the time to do it because she had 12 kids. My final memory of her before she passed away involved her making cookies with me in a little kitchen in her home and her making teddy bears that would go on the family members' Christmas trees. As I mentioned already, she showed me how beautiful it was to open her home, to think that she had that many kids and umpteen many more grandkids, but could still find time to do something with me and be special for me with something that I'll never forget. She was selfless, a very thoughtful lady. One of her sons, my grandfather, Bill Jackson, or we would just call him Pop. Pop, along with my grandmother, showed me what it looked like to be generous as a child. I got to see this. They were incredibly generous people and what it looked like to support your family. My grandpa rarely missed a baseball game that I'd play. He was pretty vocal with his support of me at those games. Sometimes that was because he often showed up right after leaving the bar, but that's a different story altogether. He was loved by many, many people. They loved my grandfather and never failed to be supportive and generous and kind. My grandmother, his wife, Peggy, showed her love for her grandkids by picking us up regularly from school. One day a week, did that for years, me and my cousins. She's very intentional about being involved in our lives on a regular basis, and it mattered to us. It mattered to us. We look forward to those days, and I've got all kinds of wonderful memories of spending time with her. One of the things that not a lot of people knew about my grandmother was that she had a little hobby. She loved to play the ponies, as they say. That at times worked to our benefit as grandkids. So far, yes, it's true. You could find your pastor's grandma regularly betting money at the Golden Gate Fields racetrack in the East Bay. And whenever she won, she would inevitably use some of that money to spoil her grandkids, including myself. She was a beautiful example of what it looked like to give. I honestly think of her when I think of generosity and to put others before yourself. As a child, I watched this and it impacted my life greatly. On my dad's side, most of my family is from Oklahoma. Do we have any Oklahoma folks out there? Yeah, okay. There was my great grandma Vaughn. My great grandma Vaughn, who chewed snuff. And I'm honestly not sure that I have a single memory of her where she didn't have a pinch under her lip. She chewed well into her 90s. I can still remember watching her spit into her spit tune that was always conveniently located right next to her chair and thinking as a child, that is gross. She dug bottles. She collected antiques. To this day, I still have an old glass jar filled with glass marbles that she dug and collected from all over the United States. I remember the time that I got to spend with her as a young child, and it was significant to me. One of her sons was my grandfather, Leon Johnson. My grandpa, or Grampy as we call him, never had more than a formal fourth grade education. But he showed me repeatedly what it looked like as I was growing up to work hard. There was nothing fancy about this man at all, but he was strong and he was reliable. And I could see that as a child. He was married to my grandmother, Jewel, by the way. If you ever heard me refer to my littlest one as Jewel, it's because her middle name is after her grandmother, or my grandmother. Jewel and my Aunt Stella loved the Lord, and they went to church every Sunday. My grandmother and my great aunt taught me how to fish, how to play dominoes, how to make homemade ice cream, and they could bake pies and make a country breakfast like it was an art form. In addition to all of those wonderful things, my grandmother and my aunt were the most devout Christians that I knew growing up, and I remember seeing her Bible and her having her Bible with her before I even really understood what a Bible was or why someone would carry it around. Jewel was married to my grandpa for 52 years before she passed away with lung cancer. The entire time that she was alive, my grandfather, her husband, was not interested in God or the church at all. But that changed after my grandmother passed away. Shortly after she passed away, my grandpa started showing up at that little country church that she would go to. If I remember right, it was called Whispering Pines Church in Berry Creek, California. My grandma was a member there. She attended weekly for so many years. And not too long after she passed, here comes my grandfather to the church. It was through the ministry of that little church, the people there, the pastor there, that my grandpa began to hear the gospel preached. Shortly after, he gave his life to Jesus and was baptized at the age of 77 years old. When I think about that now, I think my grandmother prayed for my grandfather regularly that she was married to for over half a century. Never got to see him know and walk with God. But I did. I did, and I watched. I saw it as his grandchild. In fact, the grandfather that I grew up knowing, one who was known for keeping a pretty tight leash when it came to raising the kids, could have a pretty short fuse or a temper at times, had an encounter with the living God when he was close to 80 years of age. He accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior at an age that not everyone even lives to see. When that happened, I began to see the change. My parents, even more than I, who had known him for even longer, began to see the change in this man that God had made in his life. And as he grew in his faith, he became more loving, more slow to anger, more quick to forgive, and generous. In his later years, I can even remember praying with my grandpa, one who didn't know Jesus at all for almost 80 years, praying with this man and him being able to support me and come alongside me in my faith in a way that he could not when he did not know God. And in God's perfect timing, this is what amazes me as I think back about the influence of grandparents in my life. In God's perfect timing, the Lord also used my grandfather in a very special way in the year 2000, the year that we referred to as wet back then, Y2K. Remember that? Shortly after my grandfather Leon became a Christian, Kimberly and I were at the place in our lives when we were about to take a step out in faith and become, we were convinced that God was calling me to go into full-time ministry. We were praying fervently about how it was going to be possible for me to go to school, to go to seminary, because quite honestly, it was not at that time. So my wife and I had this great idea, and I say great, you know, because we didn't know what else to do. We said, maybe we could reach out to some of our family members, let them know we believe with all our heart God's calling me to do this, and ask if they might consider partnering with us in some way by sharing any amount of monthly support. You know, I mean, can you imagine us thinking that? Our honest hope was that maybe a couple of people in our family might be able to say, well, we could do $25 a month to help or something like that. At least that'd be something, is what we were thinking. So I wrote letters to a handful of family members shortly after, followed up with a phone call to see if they received my letter and find out if they thought I had gone mad and writing letters asking for money and things. When I finally connected on the phone with my grandpa, I'll never forget, he said, I've been waiting for you to call. And in the way that my Grampy from Oklahoma could only say, said, I've been kicking rocks around the yard and thinking about your letter. And then he said these words. He said, I've decided I want to pay for your education. He then went on to say this. He said, I've had a lot of kids and grandkids ask for money to buy cars, buy a house, and everything else, but none have ever asked me to help them get an education or to prepare to do the Lord's work. My wife and I were shocked. I can remember dropping to the ground in our little townhouse in Hercules, weeping on the carpet there and seeing how God met what we thought was going to be the most insurmountable need just with one fell swoop or one phone call. Now keep in mind, I shared with you that this was my grandpa that I told you never had more than a fourth grade education, right? We weren't reaching out to some rich family member. He was a hard worker, but he was not wealthy by any means. In fact, he was living in a little trailer park in Oroville, California when this happened. And the thing that maybe shocks me the most about all of this is that my grandpa lived almost 80 years on this earth before he ever even knew God. He became a Christian father and grandpa at that point who not only did kind or fun things occasionally for me as his grandchild, but actually invested in my life in a way that continues to bless and will touch others for Jesus long after he's been gone. Grandparents, I want to say to you today, and I want you to hear me, that I want you to realize that you, no matter what age you are, if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, or 90s, hopefully already are, and I'm sure many of you are, but just know that you can make a tremendous difference in the lives of your grandkids. They're watching you, right? They're watching you. When you do invest in them, it'll continue to give. It'll continue to give to them and to their kids and to the next generation. Whether it be your kind words, your strength that they see, your encouragement, your love for them, your support, your presence in their lives. Or maybe they see, as they look at you, what it looks like to follow Jesus, to know and to follow Jesus. Grandparents, I don't know how long it's been since somebody may have told you this, but we need you. We need you. Your grandchildren need you. because you're important. Hope your family still finds ways to honor you and communicate that to you, to let you know that you're loved and appreciated. By the way, if you weren't already aware, that's one of the very reasons we've asked you to come today, just to honor you and to thank you on this special day. When you think about it, reverence for our elders is something that matters a lot to our God, so it should matter to us. Consider this. When God first gave his law to Israel, he said this in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. What would he say? He said, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man or woman. And you shall fear God. I am the Lord." I believe the idea here is that our God commands a multi-generational attitude of honor towards senior relatives. I think there are some places in the world, some countries that do that better than we do here in many ways. But I want you to know that God wants us to honor our elders. And as children watch their parents honor their parents, they'd get the idea that I'll be doing the same for my parents one day too. It's a beautiful verse in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 17:6, which says, "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged." They're the crown of the aged. If you're blessed to have your grandkids here today, you can look at them and say, "The Bible says they're my crown." I'm guessing grandparents understand what that means if you've enjoyed and been blessed by your grandkids. Many of you indicated already by a show of hands earlier that your life was impacted significantly by a grandparent or grandparents at some point. And in that unique grandparent-grandchild bond, there's this mutual benefit that takes place there as grandkids around grandparents can be like medicine to them at times, and how the grandkids can benefit from the experience and love and support and encouragement from their grandparents. Someone once said the most amazing thing about getting to be a grandparent is that the very kids you made so many mistakes on may have, could have damaged irreparably, grow up and honor you by trusting you with their babies. Could there be a greater grace? Now, we probably all know that the Bible says much about parent-child relationships, but it also speaks of grandparents having a responsibility toward their children's children. To grandparents, that would be your grandkids that Scripture talks about. In Proverbs 13:22, the Word of God says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous." When I first read this proverb, it reminds me of a Peanuts comic strip where Charlie Brown's little sister Sally is writing a letter to her grandparents, and here's what she writes. "Dear Grandma and Grandpa, they say that grandparents like to spoil their grandchildren." And her letter concluded, "I'm ready when you are." According to God's word, the righteous are people who pass on an inheritance to their grandchildren. And while this could involve what they do in some capacity with their wealth or anything that God's blessed them with, it certainly refers to things like passing on their knowledge, their experience, their wisdom that can be communicated in only a way that grandparents have to offer. The Word of God is filled with different examples of grandparenting relationships good and bad, some of them even notorious, as I was doing a little bit of reading this week. In fact, in 2 Kings 11, the Word of God tells us that it was the murder of King Joash's entire family by his grandmother that enabled him to reign as king of Judah for 40 years. That's not something you want to go down to be remembered by, right? But then there are the passages, and one of the first that came to my mind this week, like 2 Timothy 1:5, where we see the godly example of a mother and a grandmother. A mother and a grandmother that played a heavy, significant role in shaping the very life of a godly man and young pastor, Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says to this young pastor, he says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith." And then listen to what he says, "which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." Grandparents, I want to ask you today, could that be said of you as people look at now or may look at in the future, your grandchildren? Could they say, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith as I look to them, knowing that you've played a significant role and made an investment in their life for Jesus Christ"? Is it possible that sincere faith now lives or will live one day in your grandkids, in part because it first lived in you? To all our little grandkids who are here today, many of them have no idea I'm even up here talking right now, but that's okay. They're having a good time, and I love it. I want to say to them, honor and esteem and value your grandparents. Well, you're blessed to have them with you. Amen? Grandparents, invest in your kids, grandkids. Be intentional. And some of you, it may be you're separated by so much distance, but you could write a card, you can send an email, you can make a phone call. I want to encourage you to be intentional and not underestimate the impact that you can have in the lives of your children's children, just like we see that's what happened with Timothy's grandmother in this passage. I want you to know and remember today that you are valuable, that you matter to God, you matter to us. We are grateful that you are here. We want to honor you. And today in this assembly, as we seek to honor God in all that we do, I believe one way to do that is by honoring people he's told us to honor. And so thank you for grandparenting. Any great grandparents here, by the way? I was just thinking that. Any? Bonita back there. All right. And yes. And Mary and Madeline. See several hands. Absolutely beautiful. Don't underestimate how God can use you. And I would say this, just like in my life, I was blessed by generosity and hospitality and support in so many different things. Those things are beautiful and absolutely wonderful, and they can make an incredible difference in the life of a young person. And I also want to say to you today that if you want to have an impact that pays potentially eternal dividends and rewards, if you want it to be said of your grandkids that someone saw the sincere faith in them that there was in you, it begins with having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And as I shared with you this morning, for my grandpa, it was almost 80 years into life, and yet God found him, and he gave his life to Jesus. I'm going to tell you, at East Valley Church, we believe there is a God who loves you. A God who loves you and who, that the Bible said, sent his one and only son because we were in need of a Savior, ultimately. Bible tells us that every one of us has fallen short. Any of us who are honest with ourselves go, man, I mess up regularly. The Bible calls that sin, and God sent his son Jesus to be able to help us with the problem that sin causes. And at 77 years of age, my dependent, super capable, hardworking grandpa said, you know what? I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And he believed that Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again, and he surrendered his life to him, and it changed his life. Even in those twilight years, right? Has he changed your life? I want you to know that you may have come here today, and we want to celebrate you. We're thankful you came. We love you. Maybe you came today and you didn't even know. One of the reasons I'm here is because God wanted me to recognize that I needed him today. You might not even be a grandparent. You might just be here today and realize it, because it's not about how old you are. We all need him. And I want you to know that Jesus doesn't turn anybody away. If we'd come to him, turn from our sins, and trust only in what Jesus has done for us, he'll give us a new life. I'm so grateful that he does that. Grandparents, we love you. Thank you for being here today. And at this time, I'm trying to remember, if you could be inside my mind right now, it's going like this: what's next, what's next, what's next? So try and remember, because I know today is a little bit special. I'm supposed to invite any grandparents and grandkids to come up, because I believe Pastor Pat is going to take a picture of us today. We believe it's a special day. And if you are a grandparent,